Hello, ladies. How are you doing? So glad that you are here. And I just want to, you know, reach out and give every single one of you a really big hug because I think this is a really emotional day. No matter where your opinions fall on the political line, I think it's really an emotional day for everybody. So that is actually what I'm going to be leading the call with today. So, as you guys know, my name is Nicole Kellerman-Worth, and I'm the founder and creator of WildlyAliveWeightLoss.com. And this is Wildly Alive Wednesdays, where I'm going to show you how to get out of your own way, start having fun, and feel alive again. From body image, spirituality, beliefs, money, and movement, to relationships, motherhood, creativity, sisterhood, and mindset, Wildly Alive Weight Loss is a place to come for real advice and real stories on how to create a lifestyle you adore and a body you feel proud of. So today we're talking about how to handle highly emotional situations without turning to the food and wine. And I think this is really appropriate for what's going on right now. And the whole reason why, you know, I decided to do this is because I actually felt myself being pulled towards emotional eating last night. It was more like anxiety eating. I had already ate dinner. I knew that I was, you know, I was satisfied. I wasn't starving. I knew that. And I just had a lot of anxiety going on in my body, which I think most people were experiencing last night. And I was running to the chocolate. Thankfully, I caught myself before I started like going really crazy with it, but I caught myself and really just came down and relaxed. And I'm going to be sharing with you exactly the tools that I usually give my clients on how to manage their emotional cravings. So the biggest thing that I want you to remember is that cravings, as long as it's not a physical craving, right? And how you can decipher those two is that if you won't eat an apple, then you're probably not physically hungry and it's an emotional craving. Okay, so as long as it's not a physical craving, emotional cravings are really blessings in disguise, because all it is your body sending you a strong signal that an emotional need needs to be met. And to stop looking at them like they are negative. I know that when I was struggling with my weight and my body image, whenever I would have cravings, I would get pissed. I would get so upset that my body was having these cravings. All food does is make me fat. Why am I craving food? So annoying, yada, yada, yada. And all that did was exacerbate the problem, because, I mean, I don't know if any of you are bingers or have binged, but I was a big binger and starver, like way too extremes, right? And so it would usually set off a binging episode, where if you've ever experienced binging, it's the most unpresent thing ever. I mean, you're so in your head and you are nowhere in your body. You are not present in the moment whatsoever, where I would just sit there and I would lean on my kitchen counter and I would eat whatever I could find. And while I was eating, I wasn't even paying attention to the food that was going into my mouth, because all I was thinking about was the next thing I was going to eat. And so it was a very, very unhealthy relationship with food, for sure. And then, you know, that triggers into, you know, feeling horrible, gassy and bloated, you name it, and then going to bed and waking up with a ton of guilt from that entire experience. So all of those binges, and even if you aren't binging, you can still relate and take some of the tools that I'm giving you today that will absolutely help. But binging is like emotional eating, you know, on steroids. I mean, it's like the heightened side of that. And so I think with everything that's going on with the election, and emotions are riding so high right now, I think this is really appropriate and important for us to talk about. So as you guys navigate the rest of your week, which yes, will still be pretty emotional, everyone is fragile. I want you guys to keep that in mind, just as a side note, as you're navigating the rest of your week, is to walk around with compassion, because everybody is really, really fragile right now. Actually, my best friend Crystal called me and told me that she had experienced the worst form of road rage she had ever experienced. And she didn't tell me exactly what had happened in terms of like if she cut him off, but a guy last night, I don't know when exactly, was chasing her and like flashing his lights on and off and like go in front of her and stomp on his brakes. And when they hit a red light, he would get out of his car and say, "Let's go, let's go." And, you know, that's unfortunate. I feel terrible for her. I'm, you know, I wanted just to give her a hug through the phone. It sounded absolutely horrible. But that's just what I'm saying, is that emotions are really, really high right now. And to just act with compassion and just know that everybody is struggling with their emotions, and majority of our society doesn't know how to manage or handle their emotions. And so, unfortunately for men, anger is a very socially acceptable emotion, and that comes out a lot on the road. So that's a whole nother topic, but I'm just saying as a little side note to kind of take that into your back pocket as you're going for the rest of your week and stuff like that. So, okay, here's some tips and tools. So I have two different little formulas, techniques that I want to share with you. So one of them is how to stop a craving in the moment of a craving. Okay, and then the other one is how to prevent cravings. So let's talk about first how to handle a craving in the moment. So this is something you could easily use tonight if you're feeling the craving, or, you know, for the rest of the week, or anytime you're feeling an emotional craving come on. And again, how to decipher those two is, if you won't eat an apple, more likely than not, it's an emotional craving. Okay? So if you have a pen and paper, I would highly suggest you write this down because it will help. So this is called the STOP, S-T-O-P, the craving formula. So STOP is an acronym. If you've been following me for a while, you know that I love acronyms. I could turn in, because that's really how my brain works. Honestly, when I would study for tests and stuff, I would try to turn things into acronyms because, you know, book tests and things like that, book smarts isn't my forte. So I have to find like fun little games and ways to remember things. So this is called STOP, S-T-O-P, the craving formula. So S stands for silent your mind. So before you, you know, open that cabinet door or open the refrigerator door, or maybe you're doing this in front of the door, I want you to just take a minute and recognize that it is an emotional craving, and to really just stop for a minute and settle into your body. So silence your mind. And a really great way to silence your mind is to put your hand on your heart, because it brings you back to your body. And then T stands for talk to your body. Again, we're just really opening up those lines of communication here. And then O stands for open up and ask her what she's really craving. So an emotional need that is not being met. So again, just putting your hand on your heart and asking your body, she, because she is very wise. We always personify our bodies in the Wild Be Alive Weight Loss Program. And ask her, what does she really need right now? And really just settle in and take a minute. You know, Helga, your self-sabotaging voice might come in right away and say, "I need a cookie," you know, and like, you know that that's not your body. You know that that's not your wisdom. You know that that's just your ego. That's just Helga. So you can just like push her away and say, "Okay, Helga, I'm like, thanks for talking, but no thanks." And then settle in again and say, what do you really need? And so maybe you need to vent, maybe you need relaxation, maybe you need a bath, maybe you need a hug, maybe you need a good cry. You know, if you start to get like that little ball in your throat, that's a sign from your body that you need to cry. So allow yourself to cry. Or, you know, like just really tune into the subtle cues of your body. It talks in many ways. So it could be like a flash. Like you put your hand on your heart and you ask your body what she's really craving, and you get a flash of the bathtub, or you get a flash of you getting a hug, or you might get the feeling of getting a hug, or again, you might feel something in your throat, you might feel something in your stomach. Just again, your body is really wise and always talking to you, and it's just about really tuning into that. And then P stands for plan. How can you feed that real craving? Again, this is where you plan and you take action. So actually going upstairs and drawing the bath, or going, you know, calling your best friend and seeing what she's doing and maybe hanging out and getting a big hug from her, or, you know, giving yourself a hug. You don't necessarily need anybody to feed an emotion. You can give that feeling to yourself. If you need love, then give yourself love. When you're filling up the bathtub, just imagine like you're sending love to the water. You see what I'm saying? Love up on your animals or something like that. Really just tune in that way. So that's the stop the craving formula, and that's what you do during a craving. Okay? So hopefully you have written that down. And then the other one is called the food craving freedom technique. And this is how to prevent cravings in the future. So number one, venting and speaking your truth. It's really, really important. And I will link to this post that I wrote about expressing your feelings, that as you navigate your day to express how you truly feel, and I'm not saying fly off the handle, but I'm just saying like when somebody hurts your feelings, or maybe, you know, somebody at work is throwing an extra task on you that you know isn't your responsibility, calling that out and just saying like, hey, this isn't my responsibility, I don't have time for this, speaking your truth. Just really venting, calling someone to get it off your chest, journaling about how you're feeling. Journalings are really great. And just letting it out, not holding back, and just, you know, voicing your truth, even if it's in the privacy of your own self with your journal. So whatever you're feeling in that moment. Two is validate. So when you're venting, it's really important that you validate your feelings. You have every right to feel the way that you do, so no apologizing for feeling this way. These are your feelings, and they deserve to have some attention and nurturing minus judgment. So validate yourself. You don't have to necessarily figure out why you're feeling a certain way, okay? It just validate it. If you're feeling sad, you're feeling sad. You don't have to figure out why you're feeling sad. Just, I'm feeling sad, and that's okay. There needs to be no explanation for how you feel. So as you're venting, really validating that to yourself. Three is prevent. So create an action plan on what you can do to help these types of situations. Even the smallest step helps. Think about the emotion and how to prevent it from surfacing. Examples might include going for a walk, writing a gratitude list, telling someone you are happy to have them in your life, take a bath, reading a book that makes you laugh, joining a class that helps you have fun, like Zumba and hip hop, get creative. So again, this is how to kind of move through those feelings. So if you, for example, you feel lonely, then how can you set something up in your lifestyle to where you don't feel as lonely? Maybe you go to meetup.com and you join a meetup group, or you start, you know, some online dating if that's the case, or maybe you start a book club. Do you see what I'm saying? Or if you're feeling like you're reaching for food out of excitement, how can you create more fun in your life? Again, maybe it's a Zumba class. Maybe it's a hip hop class. Maybe it is even a meetup group where you guys do something fun and exciting and feel those belly butterflies. So really just take notice of the emotional need that your body is craving, and how can you supplement that in your lifestyle? How can you create so you don't feel that lack in your lifestyle, if that makes sense? And then four is proceed. After you vent, 15-minute max in your journal, and you create your plan, be done with it. No soaking in it, no calling another friend and talking about it, just be done. You have gotten the feelings out, you have created a plan, and now is the time to get into action. Soaking in it only perpetuates the problem and attracting more yuck feelings into your life. So, for example, I think this is appropriate for what's going on right now. It's very easy for us to get stuck into the drama of it all. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And you go on Facebook and you just, you feed into that ego by going onto Facebook, or you feed into that lack and that fear by calling your sister and talking to her about it, and then calling your mom and talking to her about it, and then calling your best friend, and just, you can see how you can get really, really soaked up into the drama of it. And the whole point of moving through these feelings is to move through them, right? Not stay stuck in them. So when you do the venting and you get it out of your system, be done with it. Proceed. Move forward. Okay? Like, we all have to accept how things, you know, the cards were dealt the way that they were. If it is something that you were excited about or something you were disappointed about, either way, we've got to just move forward and not stay stuck in it. Okay? So those are the two little techniques that I have for you, and I hope that that is really helpful moving forward and going into the rest of your week. So let's move into the coaching now. So star 2 to raise your hand, and I want you to say your name, where you're from, and just how you're feeling right now. Let's just start there since we're all on the topics of feeling. So star 2 to raise your hand. All right, we're going to go over to 8811, and then there's no one after her. So don't be shy. While I'm talking to this person, please raise your hand. Okay. 8811, your name, where you're from, and how you're feeling.
This is Susan from Texas.
Hi, Susan.
Hello. I have really been feeling that I am self-sabotaging. So I'll do really well for, let's say, a month. And then I kind of have a couple of missteps, and I just end up getting off track for a week or two, and it seems like I'm not happy doing well, and so I make sure I don't do well. So I would love some thoughts on that.
Right, good. Okay, so are you familiar with any the term limiting beliefs?
Yes.
Okay. So when we are coming up against some self-sabotage, are you familiar with Helga?
No.
Okay, so Helga, in Wildly Alive Weight Loss, we when you take the quiz, if you've taken the Wildly Alive quiz, I don't know if you remember taking it, but you take a quiz and I teach you about this woman, your ego, really, and we personify her and call her Helga. So there's a lot of power in personifying your ego, naming her. In the Wildly Alive Weight Loss program, we go as far as drawing her and really writing out some of the things that she says to you. So Helga comes up in the mirror. She comes up in the kitchen. She starts talking a lot when you're around healthy, fit women. You know, she's just that negative voice that's in the back of your head. So Helga is the one who speaks your limiting beliefs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, okay. So when we're coming up against some self-sabotage, usually it's a limiting belief because it's not, this is what happens is so often my clients come to me and say, okay, well, I'm self-sabotaging. And most people's automatic response to that is, okay, what should I do? Should I get the sugar out of the house? Should I force my butt to the gym? Like, what should I do to just willpower through this? And that is not, you know, my belief. My belief is to figure out what is stopping you in the first place. Let's work through that so it doesn't continue stopping you in the future, or it doesn't stop you in the future, or you're just so aware of it that when it starts to surface again, you have the tools and the awareness to move through it. So I want you to get really, really curious on what could be happening here. So is this a pattern for you to maybe, you know, start up and like 2 weeks later or 4 weeks later or at some time? Do you have a certain time when it always kind of happens?
Generally about a month.
Okay, generally about a month. And how does the sabotage look exactly? Is it with food or exercise or both?
It's always food.
Okay.
Not exercise.
So movement's easy for you.
Right.
Okay, so movement's easy for you. And so how does the self-sabotage look? Is it late at night? Is it chocolate? Is it chips? Is it, what is it exactly?
It's sweets, desserts, candy, that kind of thing. And I really like to eat early in the day, so it usually starts pretty early, and then I'm okay for the day, but I tend to indulge early.
Okay. So you're doing really good. You're eating healthy, and then all of a sudden, around a month, you start to lean towards the sugar at night?
No, in the day, or early in the day.
Like morning or like afternoon?
10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay. And does it last all day?
No. As soon as I've had that good fill, I'm usually pretty good for the day, but it's kind of like whatever it takes to kind of get me
satisfied,
filled up, and then it lasts the whole day until the next day.
And then it happens again.
Right, because then, you know, I kind of get into my negative pattern.
Right. Okay, so does it so is it like a piece of chocolate, or is it like three candy bars? Like, I'm talking, how big of a swing are we on here?
You know, call it 1,000 calorie kind of indulgence.
So, okay, so 1,000 calories. Oh, okay. That's substantial. That's kind of like a little sugar binge right there in the middle of the day. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So, next question. When you're quote-unquote good, are you really perfectionistic about it? Like, you can't have any sugar if it's a good day.
What I would consider good is if I can eat a very small amount and be okay with it, instead of being pulled to eat the whole whatever it is, whether it's, you know, multiple cupcakes or the whole bag of M&Ms or whatever that might be. So okay would mean, you know, I could eat a tiny bit, but not something that would put me in a bad spot calorie-wise for the day, or
right,
nutrition-wise for the day.
Okay. So you do let yourself have indulgences during the first month.
I do, but I have to be really careful, because once I start, I've not been able to, you know, self-moderate very easily.
Okay. So is it a particular food? Like, is it peanut butter, or is it M&Ms? Like, is there a particular food that really sets it off for you?
Usually a good candy of some sort, or, you know, cake and ice cream. It's usually some type of dessert, but it's one of those types of things.
Okay, good. So are you the type of person who has really distinguished and categorized good food and bad food?
Probably.
Right. So, meaning, have you, another way to ask that question is, have you, like, counted calories and points or something like that before, and done, like, that kind of dieting?
I have, but I don't tend to do that well on those. So what my goal has been to just be, I'll call it reasonable. You know, and you can know when you've had a reasonable dessert, whether you've had, or whether you've had what I'll call, in your words, a sugar binge. You know, a reasonable
right.
dessert might be a 2-inch square of cake, where what I would prefer to have is a giant piece of cake and ice cream.
Right, right, right. And often, right?
Oh, yes, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, and then just last question about your typical diet when you're doing good. Do you feel like you have a substantial breakfast, a pretty good, big, healthy breakfast, and you have healthy snacks throughout the day?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's another thing, is that if you are being way too sparse, you know, like on your food, then that will show up, you know, at that point you're hungry, you're starving in a sense, and your body is showing you that through extremes. So it's really important. I think a lot of the times with a lot of the women that I work with, a reason why they're struggling with their weight is not because they're eating a lot, it's actually because they're not eating enough. So you need to be making sure that you're having that big healthy breakfast in the morning, having healthy snacks, at least one healthy snack or two healthy snacks throughout the day, and having some and having a nourishing lunch and a nourishing dinner. So again, you're not actually hungry.
Yeah, you know, when I've been doing some of my studies and things, I'm new to the group here. You know, it's I really kind of in doing some of my searching, it really feels like it's a little bit of, you know, kind of self-punishment in a way,
right.
Which is, okay, I'm doing really good. I need to make sure I don't do well. So if I fall off the wagon, then I can be unhappy with myself.
Right. Okay. So this is what I've concluded with you, is that this is absolutely a limiting belief coming up. Because that's why I had to do all that backstory. I had to figure out making sure that you were eating enough, had to make sure that you weren't in that perfectionistic mindset, because if you don't give yourself a little bit of a, I don't like the word treat because I don't think food should get treat, but allow yourself to have some junk food every once in a while, then things like this happen. But now that we've kind of cleared all that out of the way, I really think that this is just a limiting belief coming up. So here's a really great way to find some limiting beliefs, is I want you to take that food that you feel like you can't control yourself around. So it sounds like candy or, you know, sugar or of any sort. Take that, and this is going to sound really weird, but I want you to sit at the dinner table with it in front of you with a pen and paper, and I want you to see what comes up. Because there, a part you feel like, and most people feel like, I need to be in control of this food. I need to be able to control myself around food. And the truth is, it's not about control. It's just about figuring out the beliefs that come up around this type of food that we can work through. So looking at the food and saying, like, I'm not allowed to have sugar. Sugar's bad for you. Sugar makes you fat. Can you think of anything that might come up? Like, while you're eating it, I shouldn't be eating this. This is bad.
You know, it's actually very soothing and comforting.
So you're definitely getting something, like, good out of the sugar.
Right.
Like, emotionally good.
Right.
It's from a reward standpoint. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. Next time you're having this sugar, I really want you to take a physical inventory of what emotion you're getting out of it and write that down. And then I want you to brainstorm how you can nourish that feeling, that emotion, without food. So you're coming up with a game plan, kind of like we talked about in the lesson today.
Okay.
So, and you can visualize this too. You don't necessarily have to eat the sugar, but you can visualize yourself eating it and figure out what emotions are surfacing as you're eating that food. Write those emotions or that emotion down, and then I want you to brainstorm how you can, like, release that emotion into your system without food.
Okay.
Like, what is the emotion you're really getting out of the food? That's what I want you to get to. Because it might sound like, kind of sounds like excitement to me.
Oh.
But it might not be excitement. I don't know. You have to look at your life. Do you feel like it's exciting? You know, like, and things like that. So really start brainstorming that. And I think once you do that, then you have to start having that action plan close to the sugar. So when you start reaching for it again, you can look at it and be like, okay, let me just try, you know, to go out and or turn the music on and have a good, you know, dance in my living room if you're looking for excitement. Let me just go try that. Don't tell yourself you can't have the sugar. Just say, I'm going to try to do one of these things to release that emotion into my system and see what happens. If the craving's still there, I'll cross the bridge when I get to it. So, again, don't tell yourself that you can't have it, because then that will just make you want it more.
Got it. Thank you very much.
All right, dear. That was really good. Really good question. Keep me posted on how it goes.
Will do. Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Well, she was the only one that raised her hand, but it was good. I think you guys could probably get a lot out of that. So I am going to wrap up the call now. So I really appreciate you guys coming to these calls live. having these heart-to-heart conversations, I hope you can see how valuable it really is, sharing your stories and successes and struggles. Just really having these real people conversations and really hearing each other. I know it's becoming harder and harder to connect on this level in this day and age. So I hope you felt some connection. It like relaxed your Helga a little bit by being here. And if you're listening to the recording, same with you. It says a lot when you take time to tune in and connect that way. And if you'd like to join us live, I would love that. Go to wildlyaliveweightloss.com/coach to learn more about these calls and how to participate exactly. And if you haven't taken the Wildly Alive quiz, make sure you take it. It's really insightful. This is where we figure out how you're shooting yourself in the foot, similar to the conversations we were having today. And together we'll create your Wildly Alive weight loss plan so you can get out of your own way, start having fun, and feel alive again. All right, ladies. Well, I love you all, and I will see you hopefully next week. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.